Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Joining me on this episode of In the Country are three talented Canadian country artists, Ontario's Adrian Taylor, Nova Scotia's Michaela Lynn, and Saskatchewan's country duo, Marshall Rain. Despite her young age, Michaela Lynn has already penned over 50 songs and has recently completed recording and releasing her third album called Daydream in Nashville. The album has been nominated for the IMEA Country Album of the Year, as well as Music Nova Scotia's Country Recording of the Year. She has been fortunate enough to spend time and share stages with the likes of Carrie Underwood, Kenny Chesney, Brad Paisley, Tim McGraw, and others. Michaela's latest song is called Don't Quit Your Daydream. And here she is now, Michaela Lynn. Hey, Michaela.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it is so great to have you here, and all three artists that are on the show today are here courtesy of Lauren Tutte.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing to work with. She gets your songs out at radio, gets you publicity, really helps move your career along.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. It's a whole new experience for me, so it's really, really exciting to see that happening in the midst of all that.
Yeah, it's a real learning curve when you get involved in the music business. And I mentioned, despite your young age, can you tell us the age you're at now, Michaela?
I'm 13 years old, and I've been singing my whole life, but I actually started playing guitar when I was about 8 years old. And then I started writing music, and then I wrote my first song, and it kind of sailed off from there. So I'm really, really lucky.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Now, who are some of your influences? I mentioned some of these great artists you had a chance to share the stage with and many more. In fact, you did a duet with Serena Ryder just a year or so ago, which is amazing. We'll talk about that. But who are the influences in your life, Michaela, musically?
I really, really idolize a lot of singers for different reasons and artists for different reasons. One, of course, who I look up to a lot is Carrie Underwood because of her amazing voice. And mm-hmm. I just really idolize her voice and her tone and everything. And also another one is Kacey Musgraves, who is really, really big in songwriting, and she's kind of sailed off with her career lately. And so I really idolize her because she's such a true songwriter and has such a purity of her music that I really, really like about her.
Yeah, and she is doing something, as you said, the purity. She's doing something very unique because the sound she has isn't what everybody else in country music is doing. It's very retro, almost alternative, very traditional.
Yeah, that's what I really like about her.
I love that, too. I love that style. And, well, let's talk about songwriting. Well, you did mention writing your first song. Tell us about your process of writing songs, Michaela, and I'm sure it's different each time you write a song because it always changes, but do you have a typical way, or maybe take us through some of the ways you write songs?
Yeah, it really varies depending on what kind of song and what the song is I'm writing. But when I do write, sometimes I'll write the melody first, and sometimes I'll write words first, or an idea will come to mind, or I'll find like a really cool little riff on the piano or guitar, and sometimes I'll just sail off from there and keep writing. And then so when I co-write too, which I started co-writing about last year for this album that I released, Daydream, and it was a whole new experience for me because you have two different brains in the same room and they're going to make the song even more better when you're writing it. So it was a really neat experience. But I do try and write a lot by myself as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Co-writing does give you that the advantage of two different brains, two different ways of looking at the world, which is so cool. Now, you mentioned the album. You recorded it in Nashville this February. Tell us about that. I mean, you're 13 years old, and you're in Nashville recording an album. Like, that is so cool.
Yeah, it was just a mind-blowing experience for me. It was my second time down there, and the first time I went down, I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I went down just to play for the full 3 days, and I just went along Broadway and just played on that whole street, and it was really, really amazing for me. And so I needed to get back in my mind. I just needed to get back as soon as I could. And so when I went back to record the album, it was almost a whole different ballpark from there, from playing. And you get in the studios with all these musicians that are just so much to look up to. And so I get in there, and all of these musicians are there, and they start laying down the tracks for my music, and I was doing the scratch vocals. And the minute they played the first song, it was just like my songs were just coming to life. So it was a really amazing experience for me.
Wow, it's got to be so great when you hear the song, as you said, come to life. You might have heard a guitar demo, just the basics. And now you're hearing Nashville musicians put their touch on the song. That's got to feel amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really neat for me to hear.
Was it tough for you picking the songs that you put on the album? Did you have more than you needed and you had to sort of leave some out?
We actually, when we were co-writing, we kind of co-wrote based on what I was thinking I was going to do with the album. And I ended up, there's 7 tracks on the album, and one of them was actually written by the co-producer. And I had originally had 6 songs in place to do, and we did record those 6. And then I was sent the song from the co-producer on the album, Smith Curry, and he sent me the song, and he's like, I think this would be a really cool song for you to do, and we could add it onto the album. And so I've always been kind of against playing or singing somebody else's songs, but the minute I turned on the song on my mom's laptop, I just fell in love with it, and I had to sing it. And so I remember I was flying down to Nashville to record the album, and I was learning the song in the plane. So it was a really, really cool experience again, but
that
it was
so cool.
I really, really just fell in love with the song.
That's pretty amazing, because I know a lot of writers who are artists want to record their own songs, and which is great, but it's so cool that you saw past that because you love the song so much, so it obviously spoke to you.
Yeah, it really did. It was just a song that kind of just jumped out at me, and I was just like, yeah, this would really, really work well for me. So it ended up being really nice.
Now, you're very popular on YouTube. In fact, your videos, I think this is the count for all your YouTube videos. The number has probably grown since then, but since I got it off your website, 650,000 views.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty close. That was pretty close to what you just said.
That's quite a lot of popularity and a lot of people checking out your music videos.
Yeah. I'm really, really... Social media is so good for being a musician and trying to get promotion with your music, and social media helps that so much because you can just get it that much farther out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your bio, I also read some of the people you perform with, Tanya Tucker and Bill Anderson. So some people from, they're still very present in country music, but their history is in the past. Are you a fan of classic country, Michaela?
Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of a little bit of everything. I love all the new modern stuff of country, and then I also really, really idolize the old stuff. And I love them all for different reasons. I love just the tradition of old music and old country music and older artists. And I also love the newer style that's coming out, but I kind of love a little bit of both. Like I said, I love so much Carrie Underwood, and then she's kind of in the newer range, and she's kind of bringing out that new kind of country sound. And then I also love the older people. And I actually, it's a really funny story. When I was in Nashville, I went to the Grand Ole Opry to see a show there. And Jimmy Dickens was there. And I actually really like him. And I didn't really, I'd never heard much of his music before when I was there. And so I ended up really, really liking him after that show.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah, little Jimmy Dickens, he's been around forever and a great entertainer, funny guy. And was he still going pretty strong when you saw him?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
I think he's in his 90s, 93, I think.
I would think so. Yeah, he's been around. Oh, man, that's amazing. You know, and I'm like you in that respect. I love the old stuff. I love old school country, 70s, 80s, and then right up to present. So I find something good in all the different eras. Which is amazing. We're going to get to your song in a few moments. I love the title of it, Don't Quit Your Daydream, which is a great play on an expression, don't quit your day job. Where did you come up with the title? Was that you or your co-writer?
We kind of both came up with that. He brought up the idea of the little play on words, and then I was just like, oh, yeah, this would be a really cool idea for the song. And then we kind of brought in all kinds of possibilities of, like, what a little boy or little girl would say when they were little about, like, wanting to be an astronaut or being a movie star, and then we kind of brought all those ideas into the song, and so it ended up being really cool.
It's got such a positive message in it, and I love it when music can do that. Somebody your age or even older, whatever age, listening to the song is going to get inspired from and take away a message.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were aiming for when we were writing the song, is just positive towards any audience that who listens to the song. So it was really neat.
Now, I've asked this question of other artists before, Michaela. Have you had a chance with friends at school or friends you have anywhere? Have you been the one who introduced them to country music? They heard you sing, didn't know much about it, didn't think they liked it, but when you sang it, whether it's your originals or covers, they said, "I like country music now."
It happens sometimes. I mean, I play them for a bunch of school assemblies and things like that at my school, and people seem to be really extremely supportive towards me, and even though they may not like country music or they may not listen to it as much as other types, they definitely are very, very supportive no matter what I do or no matter what anybody else does in the school. They're very supportive, and I'm lucky to have those kind of people behind me.
And, Michaela, how do you balance school, because that's obviously tough, on its own, and music? So you're trying to do well at both, and I understand you're doing really well in school. How do you manage the two?
I kind of even out my time and make sure that I do enough of each thing, and then I'm really, as I said before, I'm really lucky that my school is very kind of, they know what I'm doing, and they know that I can just tell them, hey, I'm going to be absent this day, and they can catch me up right away. So it's really nice to have that kind of support on your back. And then, as I said, I kind of keep my time managed with music, and then I also take voice and piano lessons at the Maritime Conservatory in Halifax. So I make sure I balance all that, and then I keep to my music, and then I keep to my schoolwork. So it's fun, and I'm really, really liking how busy I am.
That's great. Yeah, it does feel good to be busy, especially when a lot of it is what you love to do, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
We talked earlier, I mentioned Serena Ryder, who was back in 2013. Great Canadian artist. Can you talk about singing, I think it was a duet, the two of you sang.
Yeah, it was. It was a contest originally, and it was kind of my first. I've never played. It was held at the Rebecca Cohen and in Halifax, and I was the first time ever performing on that stage, and then I performed later in the years of that, and another duet, actually. And that duet, it was such an amazing experience, and my mom still says to this day that it's one of her favorite videos on YouTube, because I was just so mind-blown by her show, and then I get up and I sing with her, and it's so neat, because even though we're different styles of music, we're still similar, but we're still different in ways. We really pulled together, and I'm really, really happy, and that was an amazing experience for me.
Wow, that is so cool. So our listeners should head to YouTube to check out your duet with Serena Ryder. And I think it was later that week at the East Coast Music Week, you were the youngest performer. I'm not sure if that was that year or ever, but the youngest performer, and you got a standing ovation.
Yeah, I was. I played at the Manager's Lounge, I remember. I was there, and they asked me to get up and play a couple songs, and so when I got up, it ended up to be really, really neat. I played at least three or four songs by the end of the night, and they seemed to be really happy with it. And so it was just really neat for me. I love everywhere I play, and any stage that the audience enjoys a show or enjoys a song, I'm really, really happy with, as long as I can make somebody smile.
Wow, that's got to be so great when you look out at the audience and you see them either singing along or smiling, really getting into the music. We mentioned Serena Ryder, and I know that you performed as well with Bruce Guthrow. I love his music. He's such a great great singer and songwriter. What was it like singing with Bruce?
It was actually at the Halifax Metro Center, and so that was my first time ever performing on that main stage in the Metro Center, so that was really exciting for me, and I was really pumped about that. And it was actually Bruce Guthrow had played a couple songs in the same event, and so when we were back there, he came back and he asked me to come back and play the song that I was going to play on the stage. And I played it for him, and he started harmonizing to it, and I was just like, I can't believe that I'm sitting in this room with Bruce Guthrow, who's starting to harmonize to my song. He started like two times. And so I kept playing the song, and I went out, and as I was playing the song for Bruce Guthrow, the sound guy comes in, and he's just like, you're on in like two songs. And I was just like, okay, but I can just wait a minute. I'm just playing this song for him. And so it ended up to be a really amazing experience for me, and he's kept in touch, which is really neat.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, love his music. One of my songs, it's an older one of his called Falling, which is just such a moving song. I just love it.
Yeah, that's our favorite song by him too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's just, man, anyone who hasn't heard that, head to YouTube, check out YouTube, check out that song, Falling by Bruce Guthrow. It is so awesome. Who haven't you performed with yet, Michaela, that you're thinking, man, it'd be cool to meet that person and perform? with them?
I have a few in my list that I haven't seen or yet performed with or actually performed at the same festival with. One I really, really would like to play with someday or play and even see them in concert will be the band Perry. I really,
really
enjoy their music. Anybody else? Probably, I've never seen Zac Brown Band before.
Oh, great.
I saw them
in Toronto a couple of months ago this past summer, and they were amazing. Great show.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think they would be. I'm hoping to see them sometime soon.
Awesome. Yeah, they're definitely ones to check out. I love their songs. Colder Weather by them is one of my favorites
of
theirs. Let's turn to your song now, Michaela. It's called, we mentioned, Don't Quit Your Daydream, which has got a positive message in it. Anything else you want to share about the song before we give it a spin?
I think that's good.
I think the song says it all. Well, Michaela, thanks so much for being here. I just want to send out your website to our listeners, michaelalynn.com. They can learn more about you, check out more of your music. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And here she is now, Michaela Lynn, with Don't Quit Your Daydream on In the Country. And that is Nova Scotia's Michaela Lynn here on In the Country. The song is called Don't Quit Your Daydream. So great talking with her. Up next, I'll be speaking with Adrienne Taylor, and she's 24 years old, raised on a farm, grew up riding dirt bikes, driving trucks in fields, shooting guns, running through cornfields. Her first job was raising chickens on the farm, selling eggs door to door. Her father, Brent, is a guitar player and singer, and he decided to teach her how to sing at a very young age. She was influenced by people like Loretta Lynn, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, and by age 14, she was performing Sweet Home Alabama with her father's band at a local event. Her latest song, which we're going to hear on the show, is called Backwoods Saturday Night. My pleasure to welcome now to In the Country, Adrian Taylor. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm great. This is very exciting.
Well, it is so great to have you here. I've had a chance to read up on you and check out all your great music. Now, I understand you just got back from Nashville not too long ago.
Yeah, that's actually crazy because I got to record two more songs down there. I've recorded three there before, but I recorded two this time, and it was just crazy because I went down there, and of course, the day before I go down, I get sick with a cold, and I was so worried that I wasn't going to able to perform properly. Oh, so I get down there, and the producer has me in the studio, and he's telling me this, like, you know, nightmare of this girl that came in, and she didn't do very well, and they basically had to just kind of shut down the project, and I was like, oh, my God, please don't be me with that same situation. So I was like, please don't kick me out. I promise I'll do good. So I went in, and I did the two songs, and it actually, I ended up probably performing them better than I normally would because I was so concentrated on getting them right, you know?
Mm-hmm. That can happen, right, when you're in a situation where you're concentrating more, you sometimes do perform better. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, wow, I'm actually kind of doing a lot better than I normally would. And I was like, well, that's because I'm concentrating more on it and I'm really trying to, you know, get it right. So I ended up doing, you know, I got them done. They sound great. I'm really, really happy with them. I actually got the final mix and master of the next single yesterday. So I've been listening to it nonstop,
exciting.
Like in my car and stuff. Trying to, like, make
nice.
Sure that I'm really, really happy with it. And so far, I'm so ecstatic about this next song. So, yeah, it's exciting.
It's got to be so exciting when you get that song back and you're in the studio, of course, so you hear a lot of it being recorded, but you get the final mix and they've mastered it. And it's like, this is your song. You can imagine it on the radio, of course, because it has that quality to it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's crazy because it's hearing them come to life, right? Because you're hearing them fully produced, mixed, mastered, mm-hmm. and you're hearing just... You're like what you've envisioned, you know, the whole time. Like when I sit down and I write these songs, I'm writing them on an acoustic guitar at my kitchen table, usually. And I like hear them in the final production, and I just can't believe that it's come to life that much. It's really exciting.
That is so cool. Now, when did you mm-hmm. start writing songs, Adrian? Does it go back to a really young age or more recent?
Well, I actually started writing songs when I was 14, so now I'm 24, so I've been writing songs for 10 years, and it started out as, like, poetry, and I just like to write stories. Like, I actually thought I was going to end up being, like, a novelist or some kind of writer, and then it just ended up being songs. I picked up a guitar, you know, started to learn how to sing. I'm not one of those, you know, country singers that was like, you know, I started to sing when I was 3. I actually didn't sing at all. I couldn't sing a note, like, in tune at all. I was just like my mom. I was tone deaf. And then
wow.
for my dad, he actually taught me how to sing and play guitar. So then I had to practice for a couple of years before I got decent enough to perform out places. So
that's pretty amazing because you're right. I hear a lot from artists who start very young. It's a very natural thing. They're 4 or 5,
mm-hmm.
sometimes even younger. But in your case, you really had to work at it and go from a voice that wasn't there to making it there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy because it wasn't handed to me. You know, it wasn't a gift. I believe my songwriting might have been a little bit of a gift. Not saying I'm like a professional or anything, but I'm not pumping my own tires, but I'm just saying that, you know, I really feel like that was kind of something that came naturally rather than it was like I didn't struggle with it, you know. It wasn't ever hard to write songs. It just kind of flowed naturally. But then the actual singing part of it wasn't so easy.
Well, that is pretty amazing, but I mean, I listen to your voice now on these songs and on a cover song, for example, like Casey Musgrave's Merry Go Round. I listen and go, wow, not only a great voice, but a country voice, too. It really fits the genre well.
Oh, thank you so much. I love when people say that because I always get, you know, afraid that I'm going to sound like, you know, you can sound too pop or too, like, rock, and I like to think I sound country, but, you know, it was funny. I was at a show recently. I was playing at a wedding, actually. And there was all these people from Alberta that were there, and this guy just, like, roars out halfway through my set, and he's like, "You sound like Alberta country." And I was like, "Thank you." Like, stop my
yeah.
song. I'm like, "Thank you so much. You get me. You totally get me."
That's amazing. And it's, you know, everybody's got their own sound and their own unique spin. So who are some of your influences that either influenced your sound or even just artists that you admire from the country music world?
Well, number one is Loretta Lynn, because I believe she's kind of like, you know, she was the one that spoke her mind when, you know, no other women were speaking their mind, especially through songwriting. And, you know, she was writing songs that weren't even fit for radio at the time. So she was
kind of,
you know, like pushing the limits back then. And, you know, the newest artist I can think of that's very similar to her would be Miranda Lambert. So both of those girls to me are pretty similar, just different times, you know. And they push the boundaries, they push the limits, and they're still all for, like, girl power, powering women, and they still have a very, like, strong sound that guys can like as well. So definitely those two. And, like, Loretta Lynn especially, because, you know, I grew up listening to her, and my songwriting was really, really influenced by her songwriting. So, yeah, definitely her.
Probably. And one of the greatest...
My favorite song by her is Don't Come Home A-Drinkin'. It's one of my favorite songs. Yeah.
That is a great song. And I was going to say the best story songs in country music is Coal Miner's Daughter and Loretta Lynn. I mean, what a song.
Absolutely. And everybody knows it, you know, like any time it comes on, especially like I perform that song out at different shows and everybody always knows the words, you know, it's one of those kind of songs, very iconic.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And as far as cover songs go, aside from a couple you mentioned there, do you have some great cover songs that you do in your shows, Adrian?
Yeah, it's really funny you just asked that because I just did my set list. I just practiced it, actually, right before I got on the phone with you. I just finished.
Oh, cool.
actually, we're performing, so I perform Dirt by Florida Georgia Line. I love the sound of the song.
Yeah.
Kacey Musgraves, the trailer song. I love that song so much. We do Blowin' Smoke by Kacey Musgraves, Cheap Wine and Cigarettes by Jeff Moskaluk.
Nice.
Those are just some of them that we've been playing in our sets, actually, right now.
Those are some really cool songs, and I guess you, as you say, you listen to your favorites and the songs you fall in love with, and you put them in the set.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to incorporate songs I actually listen to into my set. You know, like things I, you know, songs I actually like. Like I used to do this cover of a Pistolani song called "Bad Example." It was one of my favorite songs, and we mixed "Jambalaya" in with that by Hank Williams, and it was just one of the coolest, you know, songs to do. Well, both two songs to do. It was great.
Yeah. I love those kind of things, like a mashup where you go from one song, then all of a sudden "Jambalaya" comes in, and then you go back to the original.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did, and people seem to really like it. I'd like to add that one in again, actually, to the set, but lately we've been doing, the majority of my songs are actually, well, the songs in my set are actually my own original songs, so that's a good thing, that's a good sign, because like 95% of them are original, so it's good I have enough songs to be able to perform bigger sets, you know?
Absolutely, and the role of a producer, a lot of us know about what a producer does a little bit, a lot, but as far as our knowledge base, but to tell us about how important your producer was on the songs and the album you recorded, Adrian.
Oh, he is just the best. Okay, he's 30 years old. He is just like a musical genius. I totally pump his tires all the time. I'm constantly complimenting him because producers are the talent behind it all, right? And I don't think that they get enough credit for what they do. What he does is he listens to a song acoustically, you know, but I have it all set up and structured, and all the melody's there and everything's there, but then he can hear every single instrument in it, you know? And he actually plays every single instrument except for fiddle. Like, what is that? How can you play every single
instrument?
That's
amazing.
Like, he's not even a real person. He's actually superhuman.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, unbelievable. It's really unbelievable what some of them can do. And his name is Max Gabriel, and he's in Nashville, and he's just phenomenal. Like he really makes the songs sound amazing. The two songs that I got back from Nashville recently, wait till you hear the newest one in a couple weeks. I'm going to send it off to you. Oh my goodness, it is so good. It's called 3,000 Words, and it's I think it's going to change everything. It's a great song.
Wow. That is exciting to hear. And, you know, it is so true with the producer because a great song is very important, but what a producer brings to it, the little bells and whistles and all the instruments and the right places to put the touch, you know, it takes a great song and makes it an amazing song. And production is key to the success of a song.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you that you just nailed it. Yeah, bells and whistles. That's pretty much nails it right there.
You do need that. You need all that stuff in there because that that adds to the sound. I mean, it's got to be there. And you mentioned off the top, or one of your songs that you're covering called Dirt, which is such a great song. You mentioned that. I mean, Florida Georgia Line doing a lot of bro country, I guess is the term, and a lot of up-tempo
absolutely.
Stuff. But Dirt is just a really solid song with just, I mean, amazing lyrics in it.
Yeah, it's coming back to that back home front porch sound, right? And
mm-hmm.
you know, all like the truck songs and everything. I love all that stuff as, you know, as much as the next country music fan, but really like the songs are just going back to that older kind of sound but still mixed with modern, but yet it still has that old touch of old lyrics and storytelling, and I love that because
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what I grew up on. So I'm pretty excited about the little shift right now in country music.
Yeah. That is exciting. I mean, it happened with Randy Travis back, I guess, the late 80s, mid-80s, when he brought a traditional sound back. And so hopefully there's a bit of that. I mean, it's great to have the mixture of everything. As you said, we like the truck songs and all that, but it is good to have classic songs back. We're going to get to your song in just a bit, Backwoods Saturday Night, but what can you tell us about the song, Adrian? Because it's a fun song. And is this the kind of thing that being raised on a farm helped you get insight into?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually wrote the song. I was driving home one night back to my farm, and I turned off of the main highway onto my, you know, small little road and was driving towards my house, and I had the windows down, and it was midsummer, just this past summer, and I had the windows down, and I was, you know, listening outside, and you could hear the crickets singing because there's all forest there and, like, kind of swamp area. And I could hear that, and I was like, you know, the first line of the song, like, turn down the radio, let your foot off the gas, and drive real slow, came into my head, and then, like, listen to the crickets sing, or running on love and gasoline. It just flowed really easily, and I quickly grabbed my phone out. I wasn't texting and driving. I was just recording songs and driving, so I hope that it's not illegal. but I recorded it quickly into my voice memos, and I drove home. I was only a few minutes away. And I got into the house, and I immediately grabbed my guitar and wrote the song. And it's just one of those songs that just flowed really easily, you know. And those are the ones that I'm always like, if I can write them in 20 minutes, then they're guaranteed to be a song that I should record.
That's really interesting because I do hear about the songs that are written very quickly that are classic songs. And I guess that's the truth. And maybe, Adrian, you can comment on this, but I guess if a song is going to take you weeks and weeks and weeks and you're struggling with it, then it's not a natural idea, I guess. It's not flowing out of you naturally.
Yeah, it's a forced, you know, it's a forced thought. And it shouldn't
mm-hmm.
flow like that. Like, I think some people, obviously, there's some songwriters that take, you know, a month to write a song and then it'll end up great, but it's just that depth, you know, like just that raw emotion and writing a song in 20 minutes or, you know, under an hour, there's just something special about that, and I really think that that's just, you're getting out all your thoughts in one go, and I really think that that's, you know, a great way to do it, and you can tweak it after, but, you know, it's important just to have that raw emotion right at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get the raw emotion out on paper, and then you revert back to your craft and start to sort it out a little more, maybe do some revisions. As far as duets go, Adrian, have you given thought to who an ideal duet partner, whether it's Canadian, American, a newcomer, a classic artist, who would be an ideal duet partner for you?
Wow, that is such a hard question. You just stumped me. If I'm dreaming really big, which, you know, today is one of those days where I'm dreaming really big. So Miranda
good
Lambert
nice.
Would be, because she's actually like one of the only female artists I can sing with, because like she actually sings in my key, because I sing a little bit deeper than most girls, and she
right.
does too. And the other person, I guess, would be Kacey Musgraves. And if I could do
yeah.
someone else, I'm trying to think of a Canadian artist, because like, let's stick to the Canadians here, but like a Canadian artist, I wouldn't mind working with, like, Tim Hicks, you know?
Nice.
Because he has, like,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, raw edge about him, and I'm all for that. Or, like, Livvy Jean. I really like Livvy. I actually met her at CCMA's, and she'd be really cool to work with. But, yeah.
Yeah. Those are great choices. Yeah, Livvy's very talented. Tim Hicks, CMAO Male Artist of the Year this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing amazing. Got a great new song out. I think it's called She Doesn't Drink Whiskey Anymore. It's very close to that
yeah,
title.
That's right.
Yeah, and great art. So those are great choices. we're going to turn to Backwoods Saturday Night now. I can't remember if you mentioned, was this a co-writer? This is all you.
This is all me. Actually, all the songs I release are all me.
That's amazing, because a lot of people do co-write, and that's great, but this is so so cool that these are all your own songs, your own thoughts.
I just like to say, you know, that like co-writing, I would love to co-write. That sounds like fun. I guess I just don't have enough friends to co-write with.
Maybe they just haven't heard you're looking for co-writers.
I'm going to have to put out like a Kijiji ad or something and try and get some people.
Absolutely. That would be terrific, because I think co-writing does, you know, it just takes you on a different path and probably expands things. So,
well,
but
two, you know, two heads work better than one, right?
There you go, because you're getting that extra person's thoughts on idea and on idea. But I wanted you to talk a bit about your dad, because I know that he's a great influence. And as you said before in the show, he taught you to sing. You were performing with his band, Sweet Home Alabama, at age 14. Tell us a bit about your dad and his role in music.
Oh, well, he's unbelievably talented. Like, he's an amazing guitar player, and he can sing. And growing up, like, I grew up going to shows and actually watching him and his band, and I think that kind of influence was a really positive one musically, because he's actually really good. And, you know, watching him and listening to the influences that he had really helped me grow as an artist. And for a while, he actually made me kind of turn back to my old country roots instead of singing any of the modern stuff. So if I was like, oh, I want to sing that, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of something super poppy, like country, like Taylor Swift, I want to sing the Taylor Swift song. He's like, no,
right.
You need to sing a Merle Haggard song, or you need to sing a Johnny Cash song. And he really brought me back to that old sound, and it really made me find my voice. Because, I mean, it takes a while to figure out exactly what your voice is supposed to sound like. And now I've kind of found a good mixture because of him, because of his influence and what I should be singing, what I shouldn't be singing.
That is awesome to hear. It's so great when you can have somebody that's obviously as close to you as a dad be that strong and influence musically. I think it's awesome. Your website is adriantaylor.com. People can check you out there, and there's a vlog of your experience in Nashville, all kinds of stuff to follow. And also the song we're about to play, yours, is available on iTunes that people can go and grab. Thanks, Adrian, so much. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, it's been really nice to talk to you too, Dave. Thanks a lot for having
me. Awesome. Well, here she is now, Adrian Taylor, with Backwoods Saturday Night on In the Country.
On love and gasoline, and we'll drive your truck.
And that is Ontario's Adrienne Taylor with her song Backwoods Saturday Night. Marshall Rain has been burning up the road, playing bars, festival speedways, and arenas. Their blue-collar attitude and high-energy sound is exciting fans from Michigan to Southern California and even as far away as Germany. They continue to energize traditional country music fans as well as people who never thought they would listen to country music. Marshall Rain is comprised of Jason McNabb and Eric Wicks, and their latest song is called Want It With You. And joining me from Marshall Rain, it's Jason McNabb. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Great to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And, of course, you two are residing in Saskatchewan. Are you both from there originally, or you've moved to Saskatchewan?
Manitoba, actually. Yeah, born and raised in a small town called Minnedosa, Manitoba, which is just north of Brandon, about 45 miles or so.
Very cool. Let's start off with the name. Cool name, Marshall Rain. Where does this name come from?
Well, we put the band together. We've been together about 6 years, and the first year, you know, we were just kind of writing, you know, playing bars, doing cover, no more of the cover band thing. And we were doing a show in Vegas one night, and we were actually at that time called Five Wheel Drive, which there were five of us in the group, and we just decided none of us liked the name. We needed a new name. So we were sitting down having a couple drinks, and we decided we'd come up with our own, you know, Wild West superhero, if you will, like a Marshall Dillon or somebody like that. So after a few, you know, we went around the table a couple of times with the guys in the band, and we all came up with Marshall Rain.
That is so cool, because band names are harder than people might think to come up with. Because, well, I mean, once we hear a name like Lady Antebellum, first it comes out and what kind of name is that? But you get used to it after a while. But to come up with a name to begin with is tough.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, especially when there were five of us in the beginning, and it just, everybody had their own kind of idea. And trying to get, you know, five guys all on the same page was pretty difficult. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, now that there's two of you, do the two of you agree on musical styles? Are you and Eric on the same page musically, or are there any differences that you bring to the duo?
We do. For the most part, we do agree. But anytime we don't agree, we kind of come together in the middle, and it's something even better than what I had originally imagined or what he'd originally imagined. So It works really well as far as a partnership that way.
Now, the latest single is called Wanted With You. Do you guys co-write, you write together all the songs that you release?
For the most part, we do. That one and two others on the record are just songs that I wrote on my own. However, you know, in the recording process, he brings a lot to the table as far as guitar playing and stuff like that. So it is kind
now,
of a
for
joint
you,
effort.
Jason, yeah, some of your musical influences. Who are the artists that got you excited about music?
Well, when I was a kid, you know, my dad would always, he was a musician also, and he had records playing and stuff like Dire Straits, that Money for Nothing album I remember listening to with my dad all over, like day after day after day. Let's see, who else? I like a lot of classic rock stuff. Along with my country, you know, like CCR, the Eagles, really like a lot of harmony-based music. But nowadays, I'm really, like Tim Hicks, like you guys were talking about earlier on in the show, love what he's doing right now. Brett Kissel, guys like that, and right down to Keith Urban, you name it. I listen to a wide variety of stuff, anything from Snow Patrol to Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah. There's so much great music out there, whether it's country, pop, and whether it's new or old. And, I mean, you mentioned rock groups, the Eagles and CCR. Definitely the Eagles, and even CCR, a lot of country elements. Eagles pretty much blatantly country in a great way. Great harmonies, too, and I love the harmonies that the Eagles did.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with today's country, I feel like it has a lot of that classic rock influence in it, where if those guys were to come out today, they would probably be on country radio.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's a really good point. If the Eagles came out today, they'd be a country band. They'd be like a Zac Brown band.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, your performances, when you're performing around Saskatchewan and all the different areas that you perform around, Jason, what can fans and new fans who go and see your show, what can they expect at a live show?
Well, just a lot of high energy. There's a lot of crowd interaction with us. We really, you know, we do rehearse the songs somewhat, but it can change at any given moment, depending on what kind of energy the crowd is giving us. You know, whether we want to throw in a Led Zeppelin lick or whatever, we're so just in tune with one another up on stage where you kind of just look at somebody in the group and you know exactly where they're going to go. And so we can kind of just feed off each other, and which is awesome because it makes for a different experience every single time you see the band.
That's really cool, because if you're somebody who likes to go and see Marshall Rain a lot, you're not going to see the same old show. It's going to be fresh each time, which is great.
Yeah, and we kind of cut our teeth in Las Vegas playing. Like, when we first started the band, we all kind of moved down there, and we were a house band at Gilly's back when it was in the Frontier Casino, and we were doing 4, 5, 6 nights in a row, and a lot of times you would get people coming, you know, night after night. So we decided, you know, in order to keep this fresh, this is how we're going to have to be, and this is what we're going to have to do, and we just kind of adapted to that sort of style.
I think that's great, and I think acts, this is a pretty obvious point, but the more you perform and the more venues you do, I mean, you really perfect that skill of performing. That's why it takes a lot of years to become a really good entertainer.
Yeah, absolutely. And even right now we're playing, you know, 3 to 4 nights a week. And if we're not doing that, we at least are communicating with one another, talking about what we're going to do at the next show and, you know, coming up with ideas. Like, I'll get text from somebody in the band, hey, I just heard this, you know, what if we did kind of this little spin, you know, on, you know, Want It With You, do a different intro live than actually is in on the record. You know, we kind of extend it a little bit.
Now, I talked to Michaela and Adrian on the show about their experiences in Nashville and recording there. You and Eric have headed to Nashville and done some recording?
Yes, we have. Our first trip, actually, we ended up recording with Terry Clark's band, and we had a song. It's actually on iTunes. It's called You Don't Have to Be from the South to Be a Redneck, and that was out about 4 years ago. We put that up on iTunes, and, yeah, we were in the studio with Terry's whole band, and it was such an awesome experience. Just the professionalism in Nashville is unbelievable. You've got players that, you know, have never heard your song before. They step in and they play it once, and it's just, you know, it's you have to have somebody come over and grab the bottom of your chin to close your jaw kind of thing.
I've heard that so many times. They just, this song that you wrote and you practiced, of course, they hear it for the first time, and boom, away they go, and sounding amazing, like it's perfect the first time, which is, that's really cool to hear your song done up like that.
It's awesome, and it's always nice to hear, you know, somebody comes in with fresh ears, and they might have another take on the song, and, you know, and we're a band that's definitely open to suggestion, you know, we keep everything very open at the table, you know, if we're writing and somebody else has a suggestion, even like one of our band guys, you know, hey, why don't you do this here, why don't we go to an E minor, or whatever it might be, we're very open to exploring new ideas.
What about cover songs in your shows? I know that you do, obviously, a lot of original material, but do you throw in some covers from country and rock?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, both country and rock. We do some old country in our show because we try not to step, you know, if we're trying to break into radio right now, we probably won't play somebody else's song that is on radio at this time. We'll kind of, you know, throw in maybe a couple classics, maybe a Merle Haggard song or Johnny Cash song or something like that. As far as rock, maybe, you know, a couple Tom Petty songs, or like I said earlier, we do Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin in our live show. But we try to stay close to about 25 or 30% cover.
Mm-hmm. For sure, so you're getting most of your people get to know who you are as a duo, and then the other covers are thrown in just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're a new band. We're just breaking new ground right now. So it is nice for the audience to at least have a few songs that they can sing along to, and it just kind of breaks up the night a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Have you found that other country artists, whether it's in the province you're in or just anywhere that you've been, country artists pretty supportive of what you're doing, supporting each other?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in Canada, you know, like I really find that. Like there's just a really close circle, you know, it's just, yeah, everybody, there's so much support. Like all my friends back in Manitoba and a lot of bands, like the guys from Doc Walker, Chris and I kind of, you know, we played in bands together when we were younger. So we keep in contact and we're hoping to maybe get a co-write or something like that in the works, or maybe even do
nice.
A few shows together in the next year.
That's really cool. There's a Canadian band that has done so well. They have the longevity, the songs. They've got a brand new album out now, and they're doing it right.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, and yeah, we like I said, he grew up just down the road from me. So, yeah, we've been friends a long time, and yeah, I'd love to work with them. They're just such a great band.
That's awesome. Yeah, great harmonies as well, as we talked about before. Let's turn to the song from Marshall Rain. This is you and Eric Wicks, and the song is called Wanted With You. And this, of course, it's on iTunes. People can check out. But tell us a bit about the song, Jason, before we share it.
Well, I kind of wrote it just about the beginning of our relationship when I just started dating my wife now. Everything, you know, when you meet that special someone and everything just clicks. You know, at the beginning of the relationship, you just want to spend every single second with that person. It doesn't matter what you're doing, where you are, as long as you're with that person, that's really all that matters. So that's kind of what that song is saying, you know, I don't care what it is, whatever we're doing, I want it with you.
That's a great sentiment. And when you performed this for your wife, she was quite taken with it, I would imagine.
I hope so. Yeah, she seemed to be.
That's awesome. Well, Jason, thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and give our best to Eric, and look forward to hearing more music from you in the future.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Right now, this is Saskatchewan country duo Marshall Rain and Want It With You on In the Country.
Back in the middle of your shift when no one's looking.
And that is a great song from Marshall Rain. That is called Want It With You here on In the Country. Man, what a great show it has been tonight with three great artists from across Canada. We had Ontario's Adrian Taylor, Nova Scotia's Michaela Lynn, and Saskatchewan's country duo Marshall Rain. What a great evening, and a big shout out and thank you to Lauren Tutty for setting up these guests this evening. They work with her, and she works to get their music out to radio and get their name known. It's been a great show. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, you can head on over to inthecountryinterviews.com.